the way he works in our life and the lives of others. Let's take our bulletin, shall we, and look at our verses for the month of August here. So we got today, we've got next week, and I think it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks is the final Sunday of the month of August. Looking forward to getting things done in the next couple weeks. But let's take a look at our verses here in Habakkuk. All right, so let's say those together, shall we? On the right-hand side, as you open up your bulletin near the bottom there, would you share the reference with me, and then we'll share the verse together. We'll go through it a couple of times right here, right now. So let's go ahead and begin with that. Habakkuk 3, 1 and 2, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, known in wrath, remember mercy. Once more. Habakkuk 3, 1 and 2. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, in wrath, remember mercy. All right, praise the Lord. Let's put that aside for now. And speaking of watching and praying, would you turn in the Bible with me? We're going to look at one verse tonight with some others. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, would you go there with me, please? Mark chapter 1. I was reading some surveys recently, one that came out just a few months ago, about prayer, that in 2007, survey was asked in America how many people actually prayed within the last week. And the answer was about 54% of those who answered said they had prayed in the last week. In 2024, the same question was put out there, and the answer was 44%. That's quite a difference, wouldn't you say? I mean, 10% of America has said no longer do they regularly pray in a week. Now, that's just those surveyed, of course, but one of the reasons given was the rise of those who claim not necessarily atheism, although atheism, I would argue, is a religion, but the rise of a non-religion person. They call them nuns. Nuns, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S. How many have heard of them? That's a group that's becoming more, or has been, gaining some increase. And those nuns believe that there's nothing there to pray for, there's nothing, no one to pray to, etc. The value of prayer is worthless in their minds. Well, I would argue with that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Both from Scripture, but also from experience. There's things I've asked God that only God could do, and He did them, and He did them. Tonight, I want to take a look at the value that Jesus puts on prayer. Three things Jesus highly valued when He prayed. Mark chapter 1, take a look, verse 35, that's the verse we want to focus on. In fact, it's just one verse, so I'm going to ask, would you read it with me? Verse 35, Mark chapter 1, this is right near the beginning of His ministry, and we're given a sneak peek of something that He did from time to time, but also is mentioned throughout the Gospels. Verse 35, let's read it together, shall we? Verse 35, Mark 1. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You know, if it's important to Jesus, it should be important to us.
Yes.
But what was it that he did to show us that prayer is very valuable in our lives? It was valuable in His ministry, and it has value even today. I'd like to look at three things specifically that Jesus highly valued when He prayed. Before we go any further, would you bow with me, and I'll ask God to help us as we pray. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to talk to the Creator of the universe at any time, in any place. And Lord, I pray, help us to see just a glimpse of Jesus, His wisdom, His guidance, Lord, as we strive to be like Him, that, Lord, we would see the value of what to do and to get alone with you. Lord, I pray, help us again to obey what you say. It's good to hear, but the scripture says we need to do as well. So we ask, Lord, for your help tonight to apply what we hear. Honor you in our hearts and minds as well, and may you get the glory through all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Three things Jesus highly valued when he prayed. Verse 35 says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day." Share with you the value number one, the value of a quiet time. The value of a quiet time. Jesus chose an appointed time with the Heavenly Father. Are there appointed times that you have, or is it just kind of, well, I better pray right now? And that's okay too. That's a good thing to pray at any time. But Jesus seemed to have a time that he chose and said, I'm going to go and meet with the Heavenly Father. The culture of his time would have been early risers. I mean, before the sun was up, there was a lot of activity. But Mark indicates here in verse 35 that Jesus got up before the early risers did. When all the activity, before that even started, before the animals needed to be freshly fed and so forth, and other things around the house needed to be ready for the day, Mark indicates Jesus got up before even anybody else did. A quiet time. An evangelist named Tom Palmer says this, "Prayer requires more than good intentions. It requires intentionality." More than good intentions. Boy, I would like to pray more. Well, that's great. Guess what? All of us would like to pray more. Amen. But we have to intentionally make it part of the day. He chose a quiet time. Jesus chose to keep other business on the schedule. Let's continue to read. Look at verse number 37. So he rose up early before everybody else, and he had his time meeting with the Heavenly Father. What did he do after that? Well, let me start actually with verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, went out and departed into a solitary place, there prayed, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. We don't know how much time the Lord Jesus spent in prayer that day, but regardless, however much time it was, he was not going to take anything else off the schedule either. He still went out, the Bible says, to every town. Notice what it says. He preached in their synagogues throughout Galilee and cast out devils. Galilee was a large area, many villages, many places that he was going to be ministering to. And he said, no, I'm not going to give up that. I need to continue to do what is I'm called to do. Jesus chose to keep other business on the schedule, even though he put time into the prayer. And there is enough time in 24 hours for everything that is the will of God. There is enough time in 24 hours for everything that is the will of God. Would you turn with me to James chapter 4, please? James chapter 4. It would be nice if we could squeeze one more hour into the day sometimes. Wouldn't you agree? If we just had one more hour or whatever. But God said, no, you only get 24, just like everybody else. And in that 24, I will help you do what I want you to do. James chapter 4, take a look at verse 14 and 15. There is enough time in 24 hours for everything that is the will of God. Let's look at verse 14 and 15. It says this, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." God says in his word here that we are to do his will daily, daily. We don't know what's coming up tomorrow, but if we know what's coming here today or what's planned for today, even though sometimes there's surprises, we get an understanding of what's going to come. And we need to accomplish his will that we know of today. Today. You know, you start out the day, hygiene, prayer, scripture, meals, work, fellowship, growth, ministry, storing things, taking things out. and eventually by the end of the day, rest. Whatever is in your day, God says, I can help you accomplish what I want you to do. But you got to come and start and ask me. The value of a quiet time. And that's not easy in every house. That's not easy. Some houses it's a little bit different. But the value of a quiet time meant a lot to Jesus. It should mean a lot to us. Number two. Another thing Jesus highly valued when he prayed is this. There's the value of a quiet place. A quiet place. Notice again in verse 35, the Bible says that he rose up in the morning, rising up a great while before day. He went out and departed into a solitary place. Where did he go out from? We don't know. It's not mentioned there. But regardless of where he went from, he decided he was going to go somewhere else to find a solitary place, a place that is not going to be interrupted by others. The value of a quiet place. Jesus searched. Notice the words. He went out. Went out. He searched for a rest area for his soul. It's not always the same location. How many have ever traveled more than a couple hours and needed to stop at a rest area before? Yeah, I think if you're over 40, you got to stop at a rest area roughly around every hour, something like that. But the place that you need to stop in order to get that rejuvenation or whatever it is, isn't always going to be the same place. But it has some of the same principles to it, has some of the same offerings for it. And Jesus found a place that day where he could find some rest for his soul. He went out. Jesus constantly moved in the ministry. Would this always be the same place? Not for him. Mark chapter 8, would you look there with me, please? Mark chapter 8. Look at verse number 19 and verse number 20. Mark chapter 8. I'm sorry, Matthew 8. Yeah, Matthew. Mark 8 is a good one too. Amen? Matthew chapter 8. And let's read these verses together. Verse 19, verse 20, that's the verses that we're looking at. Matthew 8, verse 19 and 20. Would you read those with me, please? And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He was constantly moving during the ministry, a different place sometimes each day, but he always found a place to pray. He went out and searched for that solitary place, a rest area for his soul. Jesus chose a place he could be alone with the Father. The Bible says, and departed into a solitary place. This is a place where you're not going to get TV reception. This is a place where cell service can't reach you. It's a place where social media is not on and constantly bothering you. It's unlikely to be interrupted in a place like this. And you say, where is that place? You need to go search for it. You need to search for it. Sometimes it's in our home. Could be right around close by. We would rather have it close by, I can tell you that. But here in Jesus' time, the Bible says he went out and looked for it. It's a place where our soul can be still. Look with me, if you would, Psalm 46 and verse number 10. Psalm 46. You know, our answer when there's no cell service or it's beginning to fade is we just get louder on the phone, right? How many remember the two cans and the string or cord back in the day? You'd string those along and you could hear each other. The louder you were, you thought, well, the other person can, well, the louder we get, the person's right there. They can hear us no matter what we're saying. As you get older, you realize some of these things. Psalm 46, verse number 10, take a look. Here's what it says. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. One of the ways God says in his word that we get to know him better is by being in a solitary place, being still, letting our soul leave everything else aside for those few moments and let God speak to us in the silence or the quietness. Matthew 6, verse 6 says this, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Let's think about some places mentioned that Jesus prayed. He prayed in a mountain. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Another place that's mentioned a couple of times, he prayed in the wilderness. The wilderness, the Bible talks about when he went out in the wilderness to pray. The Bible tells us there's value in finding a quiet place. There's the value of quiet time, a quiet place. And number three, let's go back, take a look again, Mark 1:35. There's the value of a quiet heart, a quiet heart. And he departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Busyness without connecting to God has some very real negative results. Someone who was very busy, there's a few examples in scripture, but one that seems to stand out, especially in the New Testament, is in Luke chapter 10. Would you go there with me, please? Luke chapter 10, someone who was quite busy and missed what was the most important at the time Jesus told her. Anybody want to take a guess who this is? It was Martha, Martha. Luke chapter 10, take a look at verse number 40. That's where we want to go. Well, let me start with verse 38. That sets up the rest of the chapter there. Verse number 38. "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she said she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Busyness without connecting. Did Jesus condemn her serving? He did not. No, that wasn't part of what she was doing. That wasn't the right thing to do at the moment. But what she could have done was serve a little bit later or take care of things a little bit later in order to listen to the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, in her house. Busyness without connecting to God has negative results. What are some of them? Busyness diminishes our physical energy, especially when we're not in tune with God that day. Busyness dulls our thought processes. We can get worn out and things to think through become difficult. Busyness defrauds our personal relationships. Certainly there's things that have to be accomplished, but if we've got folks that we love and care for, we're gonna need to spend time with them too, amen? And God has opened up opportunities. Busyness deteriorates our spiritual devotion. Our spiritual devotion. And Ray, where are you? Let me tell you, you can be busy at college and you can be as far from God as anybody else can be. Being busy in things, and you can do it at home too, by the way, folks. Praise God, we've got his word. Praise God, we have a lot of things at our disposal. Yes. And you can be busy in those things, but your heart can be far from the Lord. Remember who he told that their heart was far from God? Jesus said, these were men who were in the Bible all the time, in scripture all the time. In fact, it was their job to record it. The scribes. God said, your heart is far. Don't let busyness take away the spiritual devotion. Busyness decreases our effectiveness to minister. It decreases our effectiveness to minister. We need to be ready for God. And God says, that means you need to be with me first. Spend time with me first. Busyness, that's busyness without connecting to God. Let's take a look at busyness with connecting to God. that has good results. Matthew chapter 11. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to look at some verses that are probably familiar to you. And here's my question when we look at these verses, before we look, tell me when Jesus said to stop doing anything and only be with him. Matthew chapter 11, let's take a look. Verse 28, you know the verses, verse 28, 29, and 30. In fact, let's read those together. Can we read those together out loud, please? Let's begin. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Where does Jesus tell people who are coming to him, stop doing things? He doesn't. What he is saying is, you need to come to me first. In fact, he says, there's a labor for you where you and I are arm in arm like this. We're yoked together. We can work together, but you must come to me. We can work in tandem following the steps of Jesus. Start that out with a time with Jesus, quiet time with God and the Lord. Number two, we can have victory over temptations. Matthew 26, would you go there, please? Matthew 26. When we connect to God, that's another great result. Amen. Temptations come sometimes in machine gun fire, sometimes in sniper fire. You never know where they're coming from. And sometimes you can anticipate, and most of the time I would say we can anticipate that's going to be something I need to avoid. But God says even in those times, if you meet with him, you can see great victory. Matthew 26, verse 41. Let's see. Verse 40, let me start with verse 40. This is in the garden, Jesus, Peter, James, John is with them there, and he's going to pray. You remember that right before he was taken by the soldiers and Judas came and so forth. But here we see him talking to his disciples and encouraging them to pray. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye what? Enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, when we spend time with God, we make it a very important time, quality time, valued. We can see victory over temptations. Victory over temptations. Pretty hard to sin when you're talking to the God of heaven. How many have found that out? He doesn't like sharing the flesh with anybody else when we're with him. So take time to pray. We can have victory over temptations. A third reason of connecting to God, and we can see good results, is this. We can have thoughts directed by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, we can have thoughts directed by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Not programmed, not forced, but directed. That's something important to remember, that the Holy Spirit, as powerful as God is, he's not going to force you to think his way. He's going to put the options in front of us and say, here's what you can choose to follow me. Verse 26, verse 27, we've looked at these verses before when we've looked at prayer. Let's take a look at them again. It says, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How many would like the Holy Spirit to guide your thoughts? Now, he says he can do it, but you've got to give him, the reins. And God says, as you meet with me in prayer, that's one avenue for him to lead and direct our thoughts. Now, a final thought here as we consider the busyness, how connecting to God has good results. We can directly thank and praise God in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5, let's go there. We can directly thank and praise God in everything. I'm thankful to hear testimonies of God's great work in people's lives and from each of us as we share maybe what the Lord's doing. But more importantly for us to do is that we tell Him.
Right.
We tell Him. Let's read these verses together, shall we? Let's start with verse 16. It's kind of the three-pronged grace of God right here. Verse 16, 17, and 18. Let's read those together, shall we? Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How about it? What's the value you put on prayer? Is it the same value that Jesus does? He valued a quiet time. He searched for a quiet place. And the Bible tells us that even the value of a quiet heart was important as well. Blocking other things out so that God can have His way with us. This is a poem I've read before, and I think it's appropriate for us tonight. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Troubles just stumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? He answered, "You didn't ask." I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God lovingly chided, "Why, child, you didn't knock." I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day grew gray and bleak. I called on the Lord for the reason. He said, "You didn't seek." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to take time to pray. What's the value of prayer to you? Jesus highly valued it. Will we? Will we? Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can call on You even right now. And yet, Lord, tomorrow's coming. And likely the day after. Whatever You choose, Lord, help us to be in Your will. But help us to see the importance of starting our day. Whenever our day starts, starting it with You. I pray, Father, we would see the value of a quiet time, a quiet place, and a quiet heart before You. May You get the glory through what we ask and what we seek. I pray that the things that we are on our hearts and minds would be led of the Spirit of God, and that we would agree with You so that Your will can be done. We ask, God, tonight, show us what to pray. And if there's any other needs, Lord, that we have this evening, would You meet those too? Show us, Lord. Where we need to trust You, maybe a little bit more. Increase our faith, just like John the Baptist said, would You increase our faith in what You can do? Well, thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. If God's moving you to respond to His word today, why don't you do that while we sing? Number
305.
Would you turn there in your hymnal with me? 305. If God's moving you, why don't you respond? Right there, or you can make a step up and pray and ask God's help. What a great time to do it. What a great time. Even though this isn't necessarily the most quiet place, it can be a place where the soul can be quiet too. As we sing number 305. I'm going to ask Ray again, would you pray? And just ask God's help as we continue. And we need to pray for Ray. Pray for those that are going to train some more for God. Whether they travel far or near, that God would help them. We need more Christian workers. Amen. We need more Christian workers. So Ray, why don't you close us out with prayer and then we'll be dismissed, okay?